Yes, January 2015.
Happy New Year.
You're freaking leaveable.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I feel like it was just yesterday we were doing the whole Y2K thing.
No, that wasn't, but
yeah.
Thanks for remembering.
And I realize I say that every year, but every year I'm fascinated over and over again about the fact that it's a new year. But anyway, that's just me. I get it. I have issues. We're fine. We're good.
When's the next Y2K bug? Is it like a Unix flip over New Year or something like that? 2063 or something?
I don't know. However, I do know that 2069 is a very, very special year.
It's not Halley's Comet because that's 2061.
No. All I'll say is First Contact. I'm not going to get into it because I don't know if we're allowed to get into it, but all I'll say is First Contact. So that kind of tells you about me a little bit. But anyway, so 2015, we are talking about stuff that has evolved, technically. And so that's why I kind of like that we went with this theme of Visual Studio Online today, and okay. It's kind of like 2015, because I think to myself, when you think back in the day, everything was on your computer.
Yep.
Everything was within Visual Studio on your computer on these gigantic desktop machines.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember back in my day, Visual Source Safe and all that kind of stuff was kind of like hidden under my desk and whatever.
Friends don't let friends use Visual Source Safe.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. So point being, now, fast forward, here we are, 2015.
Yep.
And not only do we not develop on these gigantic machines,
yep,
right? We develop on these tiny little laptops, which are that much more powerful than anything was before.
Mm-hmm. Your phone is.
Right. But all of this stuff that we can, I shouldn't say all, but a good chunk of the stuff that we can do locally, we can now do online. So effectively, I can log into any machine now,
yeah,
or any device that has access to Visual
Absolutely.
Studio Online,
mm-hmm,
and do that, which boggles my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's number one. Number two, biggest myth that I'm hoping that you can bust for people today.
Okay, let's see.
Every time someone says to me Visual Studio Online, all they think about is ALM. True or false?
Well, it depends on what you mean by ALM, but the answer is false. Yes.
Your typical developer answer. Well, it depends.
Yes.
Yes. So
fuzzy logic.
Fine. So let me rephrase.
Yes.
It used to be, mm-hmm, Visual Studio was synonymous, or Visual Studio Online was synonymous with
TFS.
Source control.
Yeah. So Team Foundation Service.
Right.
Now, it absolutely is a fundamental component of it.
Right.
Just like our ALM sort of strategy from a Microsoft standpoint, TFS is the heart of it. It's when people think of Visual Studio, they think of the IDE.
Correct.
But actually, the heart of Microsoft's ALM strategy is Team Foundation Service, which is part of the whole Visual Studio suite of ALM tooling.
So what I'm hoping that you can bust myths today,
yeah,
is what you can actually do in Visual Studio Online,
mm-hmm,
because everybody has mixed knowledge of what,
yeah,
you can do and what you can't do, actually.
Yep.
You know, so I'm assuming that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to touch on the TFS components of it, because,
right,
not because we want to go over stuff that maybe people already know, but it is a fundamental component of where you start off with the Visual Studio offering from,
right,
from the services standpoint. And everything sort of shoots off from that. And yes, there's testing capabilities. You're going to see a slide that we're going to show that shows all the various different components of Visual Studio Online. And it is more than just version control. We're talking about, you know, tracking work and things like that too, obviously, but there's testing capabilities. There's the ability to, you know, actually do editing in the cloud if you want to as well.
Right.
And you know, there's other things such as application insights, which we won't get into deeply today.
I think we've done an episode on application insights, haven't we?
Not yet. So that's why, because we're going to spend a full episode on application insights probably in the next couple months.
Nice.
Just because I think it warrants its own sort of, you know, expose, if you will, you know, to go a little bit deeper on and things like that.
So but then with that, why don't we just like dig right in and let's see what it is. Remember, as you're watching this, kind of remove this idea of naming or branding or whatever. Let's just not use names. You're going to use names. When you guys are thinking about it, detach yourself from Visual Studio Online, and just watch what Paul's going to show you, because I think by the end of this hour, everything will sort of make sense as to why it's called what it's called.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. We can certainly have a conversation around this, you know, either during or after the the episode. So definitely enter in your comments if you're watching this live. So so from there, you know, we are going to go through some of these things. And my intent is to show you how easy it is to get up and running on Visual Studio Online, because you know, a lot of people might not even realize how easy it is to get going. And when I
and
say
free,
well, that's what I was going to say was easy also means, you know, you don't have to pay a cent to start, which is
and
really
credit
something.
Card?
No.
No, you don't need a credit
See?
Card. Yeah. Come now, you know, there are some paid versions of Visual Studio Online, and they work in conjunction with what we're going to show you here today as well. But to start off with, we're going to show you the stuff that, you know, you can do for free, and then I'll start explaining some of the stuff that is more paid, or if you have an MSDN subscription, for example, some of the benefits that you can use from that as well.
Cool. And I know Paul mentioned it, but I'll mention it again. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, as we go through, by all means, please put them in the chat. You'll see the times when I'm not on the screen. I'll be kind of like pounding on the keyboard there, answering those questions. If you happen to be watching this on demand afterwards, same thing applies to you. Just put the questions in the comments section of the video, mm-hmm. and Paul and I will get back to you. So we want to make sure that you have those questions answered, so we'd rather you ask the questions. Otherwise, what's the point in coming to listen to us, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so with that, let's go.
All right.
Let's dig.
So I had this slide on, and it's sort of this funky sort of solar system looking slide. And this is actually, this is from a graphical standpoint, I guess what you would consider the most common slide about Visual Studio Online. You may have seen it before, maybe you haven't. And the reason why I like it is because you take a look at these different bubbles around the cloud. Like, maybe I should back up a little bit. So, you know, Microsoft has an ALM suite of tools, so including Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio the IDE and the Test Manager and Release Management for deployment, among other things like lab management and everything else like that. Like every other product that we're bringing out within Microsoft, we're also adding a cloud option to it. So it's not replacing what you currently have on premises, if that's what you want to keep, but it's an option for you as a customer or as someone who uses our ALM tooling to say, hey, I'd rather do it in the cloud so I can, you know, forego some of the maintenance associated with, you know, on-premises software, so, you know, patching it and all that kind of stuff. We'll do all that for you in the cloud. And we're not getting rid of our on-premises side of the business at all. That's still going to continue. I think it's important to mention that as well. But like I said, the cloud is an option that you may choose to at least take a look at. And if you do take a look at it, you may choose to adopt it because of the benefits that it provides as well. So so that's really where we're going with this Visual Studio Online side of things. And you can see these circles surrounding the cloud. And what I found really interesting about the strategy behind the way the Visual Studio product team is delivering cloud-based services for development is the fact that we're not necessarily doing it product by product. So you'll see components of TFS, for example, in the cloud, but you're not going to see us say, you know, Test Manager Cloud Edition or there's anything else like that, although we are bringing some of these capabilities out. We actually took a look at it in a different sense because when you make the shift to the cloud, you're actually thinking about things differently than you would typically be doing with traditional on-premises software. Instead of talking about products, you're actually talking about services. And in the case of developers and development teams in general, you're actually thinking about things in terms of workloads, right? So what is the typical things that a specific role within a project team actually does, and how will the cloud benefit that specific role? So that's really how the Visual Studio team really took a look at, you know, Visual Studio Online and how we deliver the services that can be used. And by the way, it's not an all or nothing thing either. As a project team that's doing custom development software, you may be using some capabilities on premises. So maybe you are keeping your version control and work item tracking and things like that on premises in TFS itself. But maybe you're doing load testing in the cloud and things like that as well. So it's a mix and match type of scenario, and it actually provides you with greater choice, which ultimately is better for the customer, in other words, you, because of the fact that you're actually, you know, able to use the tools that benefit you the most, and you can make an informed decision based on that. So you can see on the slide here that there's a few sort of bubbles, and the first one we're going to focus on is the agile component, and that's really around, you know, the ability to manage your code and manage, yes, version control and work item tracking and things like that. So we'll go into how you actually set up an account within Visual Studio Online. Then we're going to create a project, and then we're going to put code into that project. We'll probably use Git or something like that to actually do the version control for that, because we are supporting fully Git capabilities. Then we'll go through some of the other capabilities. And like I said, we may gloss over some of them. Like, for example, the Insights one, which is the Application Insights or analytics platform. We're going to dive deeply into that in a later date. So unfortunately, if you're looking for something very deep on Application Insights today, we'll probably have to defer that until a later episode, because it does warrant its own episode, I think, on that. So without further ado, let's talk about some of these bubbles. So Agile is, like I said, the team foundation service, so the ability to manage your work and manage your code in the cloud instead of on-premises. The code capabilities is the ability to do code editing within the cloud as well. So this is what you may have heard as Visual Studio Codename Monaco. This is basically what that project is. And it's a service that allows you to edit Azure websites and things like that right now. We may expand that down the road as well. But there's other things as well. So you can see there's build. So if you want to offset your build in on-premises, you can actually do that in the cloud now too. And it doesn't have to be necessarily just a .NET build. We're working on other builds as well. And in addition to that, you can actually kick off as part of your build management software. You can put that in the cloud and then actually do your build on-premises too, if that's what you want. So there's lots of flexibility as to how you decide to do it. And then other things such as testing. So, doing manual test management and things like that, yes, that's certainly part of it. But also things like load testing. So how do you actually take advantage of the scale of the cloud to do load testing and performance testing on a scale that probably you couldn't do in the past just because of the hardware requirements to actually set up a proper load test. It actually democratizes it, as I like to say, because it's actually allowing project teams to really dive deep into exactly what they can make use of in the cloud so that they can not have to worry about setting up test rigs and things like that too, for example.
I was just going to say, it's one thing to think about it from the perspective of capability and yep. scale and whatever, but just think about like the setup time, think about the licensing, think about all these different things that you would have otherwise had to, chances are probably already have had provisioned before you were going into this, or be thinking about it early enough that you would have had the 2-3 weeks or whatever it is to actually put this stuff together.
Yeah.
Right? So here, on a whim, almost, mm-hmm. you can go in and launch all this stuff, and you're not necessarily worrying about it. So to me, I look at it more from the, I guess we're going to call it productivity perspective of the team versus scalability. Because, yeah, okay, scalability is cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we know cloud is synonymous now with scalability. Fine. But where you don't hear often enough is that all this stuff in the cloud is synonymous or should become synonymous with productivity.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's I think, as you kind of look at this, the what Paul was showing you, those visuals with all the different capabilities, if you take off the specific, call it functionality part of it, and just stick the productivity lens on it, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really compare with things that you would have had to probably put together with hours worth of setup locally.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yep, exactly. So we're going to actually show you some of this stuff now, because I think it actually makes sense rather than get out and continue in slides. We'll actually show you some
Agreed.
Of the capabilities.
And so. We certainly wouldn't want to bore them with slides.
No.
We come here for the live stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go to Chrome, if it would let me, for whatever reason. Well, I was going to do it in Chrome because, you know what? Here, let's do it this way. Because I want to show you also, it's not just Internet Explorer that allows you to do these things. We're going to do things in Chrome.
Yeah.
I think I was just having a resolution issue there.
There we go.
So anyways, here we go. So the first thing you need to do, if you don't have a Visual Studio Online account today, you can actually get one for free. And it's actually allowing you to be productive right away, too. So the first thing you need to do is go to visualstudio.com. Right? Pretty simple stuff. And in this case, I'm signed in as myself. And what I can do now is I can get free Visual Studio up here. You'll see this right here.
Now, Paul, when you say you're logged in as yourself, that means you're logged in with your Microsoft Online
yes,
account.
Yes, thank
right?
you. Yeah, so I am using what's used to be called a Live ID. So this is a Microsoft account in this case.
Right. Which, for the record, you can attach to any email. I always have this question where people are like, does that mean I need to have an Outlook.com address? I'm like, no.
No, it can be Gmail or it can be anything.
It could be your corporate address. It could be whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're going to do here is basically I'm going to, for whatever reason this decided to go here, and Visual Studio Online, so we'll sign up here. And it's going to ask me to create an account. So in this case, saying an account URL, I'm going to change this to, you know, I'll say, for example, PJL breakpoint. And we'll hopefully that's not taken by somebody. And my account will be hosted in South Central US regions, because that's actually the default Visual Studio Online data center that we use today. So I'm going to create an account. And the one thing before I continue is, so notice here that it tells you exactly what you get as part of your manifest, if you will. So you get five free basic users. So we'll explain what those basic users are in some slides a little bit later. Unlimited number of stakeholders. So, you know, these are people that are just viewing stuff within Visual Studio Online. And you can also set up, you know, MSDN subscribers. So I'm not actually signing on as an MSDN subscriber first. We'll get into an MSDN subscription that I have a little bit later. But this is sort of setting things up so that you can have as many MSDN subscribers as part of your project as you possibly want. As well as a whole bunch of other things, such as, you know, 20,000 virtual users a minute per month for load testing if you have Visual Studio Ultimate, as well as build 60 minutes of build a month and things like that. So all sorts of things that you can see there. So that's all goodness. So create the account, and assuming that this PJL breakpoint.visualstudio.com is not already taken, which it shouldn't be, we'll just get in here.
While that's spinning up, I think it's important to note, too, that granted you have a listing there of all the different things that you get with it. I think it's important to understand, just so that you don't run into issues in the future, it's important to understand what those things actually mean.
Yeah.
Right? So like 60 minutes of build time seems logically straight enough or straightforward enough, and it is, but oftentimes, you know, I kind of get the comments like, well, you know, I signed up for this free stuff and then I tried to do something and then it told me I was out of resources. Mm-hmm. Right? So it just, I think it's important as you create these accounts, yes, there's free stuff. Understand what it means for what you're actually trying to do. And it's probably better to evaluate ahead of time whether that's actually sufficient for, let's say, the project or the project team that you're working on.
Yep.
Right? That's not to say that you can't start with that and upgrade from there. I think it's just important to understand what you're going to have starting right out of the gate, and then what you would need to do to upgrade from there.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Right? You don't want to be finding that out when you have a build due the next day and you're like, crap, I'm out of resources.
Yeah. I mean, you can always add to it at cost if that's something that you want to do, so you have the option.
Right. Assuming you're paying for the account, right?
Of course, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, especially in an organization where you're not necessarily the billing contact. Mm-hmm. Last thing that you want to do is try to get a hold of the billing contact at 12 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. So as you can see here, we're now in the main page of my Visual Studio account, which has actually been just been created. So PJL breakpoint at visualstudio.com or .visualstudio.com. And it's asking me to create your first project. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to create a team project. So we'll call this PJL breakpoint demo. We'll give it a description and saying, showing everyone how to make a team project. Okay, so whatever you want for the description is fine. And it's asking you, okay, well, version control. Do you want Team Foundation version control, TFVC, in other words? This is centralized version control. This, if you've ever used TFS in the past, this is a traditional version control that's been available within TFS since TFS 2005. It works great. It's great for enterprise. But we've also added, as you can see right here, we've also added Git. So you can see Git here. It's a little bit small, so I apologize for that. But as of 2013, TFS 2013, as well as Visual Studio Online, we've added full integration of Git version control protocol, if you want to call it that. For you to manage your version control. So this is decentralized version control, and it's great for, pull requests and all those types of things as part of your process and everything else like that. If you're sharing your code publicly, this was something that the Visual Studio team decided to actually integrate. And it's not our own version of Git that we've actually integrated. We've worked officially with the Git Foundation, so the official, open source Git get people to integrate it fully and natively within TFS. So it really is your choice as to which one you prefer to use. So we'll actually use Git for this. And you can see here that we have a process template. Now this is important as well, and I'll just zoom in on that so we can see it. we offer you three different versions. So you can do agile software development. So this is agile methodology for software development. We also provide Scrum, and we also provide CMMI, which is also the waterfall methodology. So these are things that we provide out of the box for you to make use of for your methodology for how you build your software. I'm going to stay with Scrum because that's the one that I find the most fun to work with, and I'll just create the project. So you'll see here, it's just creating the project. And while this is actually creating, because it's going to take maybe a minute or so, we're going to go over to this side. And you can see that there's a whole bunch of other opportunities that you have here. So you can see here that we have build, 0 of 60 minutes used. We also have load testing, 0 of 20,000 minutes used, and it's now gone to the new project. So we do offer you the ability to make use of these things out of the box for yourself as well. So you can see here, we got the typical things that if you use TFS 2012 and above, this may look very familiar to you because it's actually using the same sort of set of visuals. So it's the same kind of UI that you can see here. So now I can actually, you know, use Visual Studio. I can use Xcode if I'm building an iOS project, or even Eclipse if you're doing Java or anything else like that. You could even do things with, say, for example, like the command line, if that's what you wanted as well. So I could actually make use of the command line with part of this as well. But we're actually going to get out of this because this is sort of a blank area. I'm going to show you what I have currently on my own machine, which is my own version of Visual Studio Online. And I have this actually in Internet Explorer right now as well. So you can see here, these are the different sort of projects that I've already created. I got something called Color Encryptor, which is a Windows Phone and Windows 8 store app. Plus, I also have this PJL ALM Days 2 website, so it's an MVC website. Plus, I got these other things that I'm working on here as well. So you can see that there's lots of different projects that I can have, and I can have unlimited number of projects as part of this as well. Now you can also see here that there's a whole bunch of sort of options up here. There's users, so I can manage the users that are associated with my Visual Studio Online account. Rooms, which are team rooms, and I won't bother getting into that because this is it is a great part of Visual Studio Online, but it's not really what I want to focus on. And then load test, which if there's some time later on at the end of today, then we'll see if we can actually get to that. But you can see all the various different things here. I have 0 of 60 minutes used in my build and 0 of 15,000 virtual user minutes associated with my account here. That's because it's, the end of the month, and I guess I switched over for my specific account for MSDN because I'm actually logged in as an MSDN subscription here. So if I actually go into Color Encryptor, see here for a second, just wait for this to show up. You can see that I can create work and all those types of things. You can see I have some bugs and product backlogs. If I click on the product backlog, this is actually very familiar to you if you've used TFS in the past. So you can see here I have all my product backlog. In this case, I've decided to create things such as a user story for whatever reason. So I got all these things that I've actually set up. I've set the state of resolved here. Now, this is all great, but I can also take a look at things like product planning. So these are different queries. So I can actually take a look at the various different different assets or work items within my project, which are here, and I can actually query the database in the background, which is actually hosting all of my assets. So as you can see here, product planning, I got all these various different sort of things. I can even create a chart for this. So if I click on charts and create new chart, it's basically saying a product planning chart, and I can say group by, say for example, let's say by state. And you can see here there's new and resolved. So we have all this stuff. And I click on OK. It's actually created the chart for me. Now, one of the things that you saw is that if on the home screen, I had two different tabs. I had product backlog and bugs that I've already sort of set up there. And I pinned to my start screen. Well, I can actually pin a chart to it as well. So if I click on this and I go to pin to home page, it'll actually pin it to the home page. And if I go back home, wait for it. There you go. So you can see here that I've actually got this chart here and I can make use of this. If this was the most important thing to me, maybe I want to put this and drag and drop it over here. Now, it's also important to realize that none of this stuff is actually Silverlight or Flash based. It's actually all HTML5. So I could actually go into Chrome and actually make use of the same sort of idea, Firefox, Safari, whatever it is that I want to do, I can make use of this. So you have the ability to do all that kind of stuff within TFS. But that's all well and good, but you know, you may, as a developer, especially if you're a single developer that, you know, you just want to do version control and things like that, and you just want to, you know, keep your work from actually being on your laptop, kind of like what we talked about, you know, you may want to do other things and work within the portal and actually putting in your work items or putting in your code and stuff like that directly from the UI. You may actually want to use Visual Studio. So we're going to go to Visual Studio here. Now, again, if you've used TFS in the past, you may be very familiar with the Team Explorer area of Visual Studio. And the reason why you may find this familiar is the fact that we're trying to make things as similar as possible between the two, because the experience should be the same regardless of whether you're in the cloud or whether you're on premises.
Or more importantly, is that it can actually be that you may be in both.
Exactly.
Right. So there's it could very well be that one project is in Visual Studio Online, one project is in TFS locally.
Yeah.
I guess what we're trying to say is that it's totally up to your discretion as to how you organize
exactly.
these things. It's certainly not one or the other.
You got it.
Right?
Yep.
So Visual Studio, from that perspective, makes sure that it looks the same so that with the exception of setup, which you're pointing at a different address, to you should be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I can even take a look, for example, at my work. And you can see all the different sort of things that are available work items. If I double click on this, you can see here, for example, when you clear and color new pattern, only color pattern shows up on half the screen. So this is sort of a bug, for example, that I've got in my specific area here. So you can see that this is an issue, for example, and I gotta fix this. So I can actually go into this. If I go back to my home and I bring up the Color Encryptor solution, which is going to bring all the files down from version control. Just wait for this to show up. There we go. Preparing the solution. Now I can actually do something and say, for example, you know, I got this as a comment. Well, maybe I want to take that out, for example. I don't need that anymore. I can go to my work, for example. And you can see, for example, I've taken out this comment. Maybe I've added some other code, for example. And, you know, maybe I actually want to do something around this and check it in. So I can actually do something to say, for example, this code that I actually changed. You can see all the available work items that I've already created within this specific project. I can drag and drop this over to add in progress. So basically what this is doing is saying that this specific work item is assigned to the code changes that I've actually done. And I can now check this in. I'll add in I'll do a comment. I'll check it in. And say yes to that. I'm gonna save it, and it's actually checking it in. So the typical things that you would see before are still absolutely part of the process as well, so you can actually see that. And it's still there. Now let's say, for example, I wanted to create a whole new project. Because say, for example, I got a bunch of different projects on the go. So what I can do here is I can basically say, in this case, I want to say, for example, click on this plug, the electrical plug that you can see right here, and I'm going to say create a new team project. Now, one of the things that you'll notice here is I am connected to my darkstarstudios.visualstudio.com Visual Studio Online account. So this is the one that's associated to my MSDN account, which I'm logged in as. So I can actually do that. So it's smart enough to realize that I'm actually doing this and creating this within this darkstarstudios.visualstudio.com account. So I'm going to click on New Project, and it's basically asking me to create a new project. So in this case, we'll say this is PJL Breakpoint Demo. We'll give it a description of X just for the heck of it. We'll say that the Scrum is fine, and then we'll say this is sort of Git version control. So we'll click on Create Project. Now it's creating, JR. And we're going to just wait for this to actually create it within Visual Studio Online. So what's happening here is it's actually going into the cloud, so which Visual Studio Online is actually hosted on Azure, and it's going to create the project. So now it's actually done the project, creating the project template and all that kind of stuff. So now if I navigate to the project, you can see here, right? So I have this blank project. Now what I want to do is I'm going to close this solution, okay? And I'm going to create a new project. So a new code project in this case, not a team project. Now that's actually a good point to also mention as well. For better or for worse, Visual Studio Online, like a team project is basically an area where you manage your work and you manage your code and things like that. A Visual Studio project is actually a code project. They kind of are the same, but kind of are different too, right? So a team project can have one or more different code projects, while as Visual Studio, a solution basically is one solution of a project, of multiple different projects as well. So there's a little bit of a naming conflict, I guess you could say, or a little bit of a confusion area.
Which again, though, is no different than if you're used to working with it offline.
Exactly, right? Yeah, it's the same idea, but just be aware of that if you're new to this stuff. So I'm going to click on New Project. And in this case, I'm going to stay in Visual C# because that's what I like the most. And I'm going to create a web project. So we're going to use an ASP.NET web application. Click on OK. And we'll rename this to, say, for example, PJL Breakpoint Demo. Now, one of the things that I'm going to pre-prep for a later date is you'll see here that within Visual Studio, within Visual Studio 2013, we've actually added as part of the template, if you're building a web application, add application insights to project. So you can actually add in the hook-ins to Application Insights, which is our analytics platform within Visual Studio Online, directly into a Visual Studio Online project. So I'm going to click on Add That. Not that we're going to do much to it, but we're going to actually manage that. And it's asking me for my Visual Studio Online account, or my Azure account in this case. So I'm going to say pleberge@outlook.com. And it's going to ask me for my password, I'm assuming. So we'll
Do you have to have an Azure subscription running ahead of time for this to work?
Yeah, you kind of do, because it's actually going to hook it into your Azure subscription and things like that as well.
But also included in your free Azure credits, though.
Yes, so I'm using my MSDN account, so I can actually use this in a dev test perspective using the MSDN benefits that you actually get for Azure as well, which we'll discuss in the February 2015 episode of Breakpoint, so stay tuned for that. All right, so now it's added this in, and it's looking for my account information, and it'll say, yep. So you can see here that it's my MSDN account, so that's good. And I'll send my telemetry to an existing Application Insights resource, that's fine, and click OK. And we'll just say that this is an MVC web application, and we'll just leave everything else like this. We're going to host this within Azure as well, just for the heck of it, as a website, Azure website. And we'll click OK. And it's basically asking me, you know, do I want a database for it, and which region do I want it to be in, as well as the URL. In this case, it says that, hey, you know, PJL Breakpoint Demo is available so as a domain name, so we're going to use that. So we'll just say click OK on that. And we'll just let this create. So just hold on a second.
This is one of those times, again, we keep saying we need loading music, or we need building music, and then every time we get into a new episode, and I'm like, oh, we still don't have the
funny
music.
Enough, if you want to add that into the product backlog for Visual Studio, Visual Studio uses something called User Voice. So if you think that Visual Studio needs loading music for templates, for whatever reason, this is taking forever, but you know, you can add that in as a request as a new product backlog item, and the Visual Studio team will say yes or no. Maybe we do the over-under on whether or not they accept
them. Can you imagine someone does that and they put a link to this episode? Well, Paul and JR suggested.
Yeah.
We do not suggest. We're just simply saying that it is possible if you would like.
Yes, that would have been funny. It would be very funny if that actually showed up.
Because listen, it's not a Windows event sound that you can attach to. So it really has to come from within Visual Studio.
It does. It does, absolutely.
So,
yep.
One day.
One day, that's right.
In the meantime, maybe we should just sing our own.
Yes.
Paul and I were doing a little bit of singing before we came on the air while we were doing our music tests. We may have brought a little bit of Broadway into the studio.
Yeah, well, it's
okay, maybe
way
just
worse.
Me. Yeah.
It's all good. We always have to have fun. So this is actually just getting application insights from NuGet, which is a package manager that's open source, actually, that Visual Studios uses to great success. So it's just downloading all the packages. So while this is
it's
happening.
It's also setting up the all the application insights infrastructure on the Azure backend stuff, isn't it?
At this point, I think it's already done that. It's actually just installing the NuGet package. Yeah, you can see here
it's
actually.
You can see the libraries coming in.
Yeah, so that's basically what it's in. But you're right. It does add in the hook-ins and stuff like that for the Azure.
Which is actually beautiful, too, if you think about it, because All of this stuff, again, was stuff that you would have had to otherwise have done on your own.
Yep.
I remember back in the day when we wanted Application Insights. This is a back of the day moment.
Yeah.
Every episode. Back in the day, whenever we wanted any kind of Application Insights, we always had to build in SCOM packages. Remember the System Center Operations Manager?
That's
we would
right.
have to build all these packages, and you'd have to have all these crazy hook-ins and stuff like that. And I'm watching you do this, and Paul's like, oh, check. Done.
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. You know, we try to make things very easy for the developer, right?
Right. And for the record, in case any of your infrastructure folks do actually use System Center Operations Manager for operations and stuff like that, you can actually hook in Application Insights back into SCOM.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
which is actually interesting. Yeah. For sure. So
it works
backwards, forwards, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, because right away you always get the response from the infrastructure guys. It's like, wow. You know, here's another developer thing that we have to go and check, blah, blah, blah. So you can now say, true. However, you can actually bring that into SCOM, and everyone's happy. Now they
exactly.
get the application insights they need to make sure that the application is running seamlessly.
Yep.
You get the application insights that you need from a development perspective.
Exactly.
So, there
exactly.
you are. Visual
you
Studio
it.
Online makes it all happen.
You got it. So now what we're going to do is we're going to add this project that we just created in Visual Studio into a source control. So in this case, we're going to say to get. Because that's what we created before. And as you can see here, we're going to basically say, we're going to put this into specific connect to team projects. And we're going to select team projects from here and select my Darkstar Studios. And we'll see here, we don't want PGL, we actually want the PGL breakpoint demo. So we're going to connect to that and we'll save this. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is, because we use Git for this, it's actually saying, well, first you got to clone this repository. So we're going to click on clone. And there you can see, for example, if I wanted to use, for example, the Git command line, this is basically the clone repository URL that I'd use. So it gives you all that if you want. You can get this from Visual Studio Online in the portal as well if you want through the settings and all that kind of stuff. So we'll just clone this. And it's been cloned. Now, what we want to do is, say, for example, we want to change this ASP.NET MVC application, the code for that. What we're going to do here is, if we go to the Solution Explorer, and if we actually just go to bring this down, and we'll just go to Changes, okay. Configure the email address. So we're just going to make sure that everything's sort of set up here for that. And just wait a second here. Now we'll basically go to Solution Explorer. For some reason, I seem to have lost it. So we'll just go back. We'll add that in. And in the content, for example, we'll go to the views. And we'll go to shared, and I believe it's the index, or home, I should say. There you can see the ASP.NET. So you can see getting started here. So we'll just say, just change this to breakpoint demo. And we'll save this. And as you can see here, now, if we go to the changes, so we can actually commit these things. And this is actually done in committing things locally. So I can just say initial commit and commit it. Wait for this to show up.
And just out of curiosity, while it's doing all of that, actually, it's done. But while it's doing all of that, now that this is all interconnected with Visual Studio Online, technically some of this extra functionality that you're doing, you can't do offline, right?
Well, I mean, all this stuff is actually local right now,
right?
So that I'm doing. But if I want to actually push this to TFS in the cloud, so Visual Studio Online, that's the next step. So you have to do that. So that's the point here where you basically sync to the server.
Ah, okay. There you are.
So at this point, what I need to do is actually give the URL of the Git repository. So I didn't actually copy and paste that in. So we're actually going to go here, and I'll go back to Visual Studio Online. And if I go to, for example, the PGL breakpoint demo, okay, and if I click on the settings of this, and I'm trying to find out where the version control is. Hold on 1 second here. So let's see. Okay, hold on 1 second. I just seem to have had a bit of a brain fart here.
Now apparently we need to add in bleeping sounds too.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know why, but for some reason I seem to have completely forgotten where the URL is that we actually have this. So which is where this is. Okay.
It's one of the beauties and not so much beauties of having different things online is that because unlike local software, we kind of don't get the updates until you install them. When you're looking at an interface like Visual Studio Online or when you're doing anything online, technically things can get updated on you as you go.
Well, I think this is just me trying to remember exactly where things are. For some reason, I seem to completely forgotten it. So anyways.
Here I am trying to help his case.
Yes.
But fact is still is that that is one of the things that you have to keep in mind is that these things do change as you go. And let's just say Paul and I have had several demos where we've done where it's like even on a refresh, it might actually be different. Now, granted, don't get all freaked out because it's not like you lose all control. You do get updates of when things will happen and whatnot. So it's not just like we feel like doing it and go nuts. But something you should keep in mind that that's one of the advantages of using cloud-based software like Visual Studio Online where you're constantly getting updates. But at the same time, there is always the fact that you will get the updated software, which means there's always going to be a little bit of a learning curve as you go.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just looking here, and for some reason I seem to, no, it wouldn't be there. Okay, well, we'll skip that one, just for the interest of time. But basically what you do is you put the URL into here, and then from there, basically what you would do is you'd be able to sync it up, and then you'd be good to go. So with that, the last thing, the other thing that I want to show you is some of the other things that you can do here is if you go to Microsoft Azure. So if we're going to Microsoft Azure, if you have Azure subscription already part of your Microsoft Live account, or Microsoft account, I should say, so in this case, an MSDN account, you can actually make use of Microsoft Azure as part of this as well. So I showed you, for example, as part of the Visual Studio Online capabilities, that you had the ability to do things such as the ability to do coding online. So Codename Monaco, which I talked about earlier. So one of the things that you can do is you can actually use the Azure portal to get to a website that you've already got and manage that as well. So if I go here and I've already got a website up and running, and in this case, it's this PGL ALM Days 2 application. Okay. So we'll wait for this to show up. Now, this PGL ALM Days 2, you can see, for example, there's a lot of information right here associated with this Azure website, which I've already created. And you can see, for example, some statistics here. But what you can also do is you can actually go to extensions. Now, I have two installed extensions. I've already got Application Insights installed on this, and we'll talk about that in a later episode. But in Visual Studio Online, if I click on this, you'll see here that I have the ability to browse to something. So if I click on Browse, what this is going to do is it's actually going to bring me directly to the online version of the code editor. So you can see right here that, you know, we have our code. It's already got the Git capabilities here. So this is actually continuous integration within Git as well that we have available. Now, if I actually go to content, for example, or I should say the views, and if I go to home, the index.cshtml, you can see I have this ALM days. If I want to change that, I can change that to Welcome to Breakpoint. And in this case, I can say hello breakpointers. And as you can see, I've used this for other demos as well. So I'm going to say hello breakpointers. It's January 30 at, well, roughly 12:47 p.m. Eastern time. So you can see that. And now what I can do is you can see that I've already got this Git icon that's actually had some things here. It's actually noticed that I've changed some things. So in addition to using Visual Studio as a code editor on my own machine, I can actually do this in the cloud as well. So in the same way that I would do with Visual Studio, I can commit this. So I can say the commit message is changed title. And at this point, I just click on OK. And it's actually going to commit these changes to my code editor, not to my to my Git repository. So now it says there's zero changes. Now what I can do is I can actually go to PJL ALM days. PJL ALM days 2. And I'll just take this out because I don't need that. And if we go to this, you'll see here it says hello breakpointer. Well, in this breakpointers, it's January 30th at 12:47 p.m. Eastern time. So it's actually committed the changes directly from Codename Monaco. And it's actually added this to my code repository. So it's actually a continuous integration capability as well.
Yeah.
Now, around that, instead of actually doing this breakpoint demo, I'm actually going to go back to the PGL ALM days demo that I had here. So projects, connect to team projects. We'll actually go to, say, for example, we'll go to select team projects. We'll go to Dark Star Studios. And in this case, what we'll do is we'll go to, say, for example, the PGL ALM Days 2 Connect. Click on that. We'll click on this solution. One of the other things that we can do is you can even create continuous integration as part of your process here as well within Visual Studio.
This one's the kicker. Going back to my productivity point from earlier.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that you can design this to now kick off on its own and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So I already have, for example, this PGL ALM days definition. But say, for example, I wanted to create a new definition. I could do that. So I click on new build definition. Now, what's going to happen here is this is no different than, say, for example, on premises. The difference from a structure standpoint, the difference is the fact that your build server is actually in the cloud now instead. So you don't have to build all this stuff as well. It's already built in.
So effectively, all you're doing here is you're just building the instructions that then Visual Studio Online, in conjunction with Azure, is just going to kick off and do for you, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? So here I'm just going to call this PGL Continuous Integration as just the name of it, say, for example. The trigger is right now it's manual, but we're going to say continuous integration. So it's going to basically build every check-in, for example. And the rest of it, the source settings, we'll leave the defaults just for the heck of it, just because they're already sort of set up. Hosted build controller. So this is an example here where if I was actually hooked up to TFS, it would actually be a build controller that I've defined. In this case, it's Visual Studio Online, so it's a hosted build controller.
And so in this case, hosted actually means Visual Studio Online versus locally hosted.
Exactly, right. Now, it's also important to realize that this is, fully natively supported as part of .NET builds, which
right.
is this is an MVC. But say, for example, you have a Java build or something like that, you can actually kick off a build via Visual Studio Online that then connects to an on-premises build infrastructure as well, if that's what you want as well. So we don't have native integration at this point or at this date for, say, for example, non-.NET builds in the cloud today. Maybe down the road we will. But you can actually hook up your own build controllers and stuff like that if you want to as well.
That's not to say that you can't put your build controllers that are, let's say, not .NET based or whatever in Azure virtual machines. You just have to do some of the plumbing yourself.
Exactly.
Right? So that's one of the things, too, to consider is that if you have a hybrid environment that is not just .NET solutions, you may also want to think, well, if you're already doing hosted build for .NET solutions in the cloud, perhaps there's an opportunity for you to take your build servers or your continuous build servers that you have for your other stacks, move those into Azure VMs that can run either Windows or Linux, so all is well there, and then just wire it up from here.
Exactly, right?
It all depends on how to what extent you want to take your online endeavors.
You got it. So, like, I went back to the trigger area here just to show you. So, like, manual builds are basically every time I want to do a build, I basically do it manually. Continuous integration is every time I check in. Rolling builds is basically I check in every X number of times, say 10 times, then I do a build at that point. Or a gated check-in. So if you have a gated process for quality control within your code and stuff like that, you can do that as well. And then schedule builds. But we're just going to keep things as in continuous integration. I'll click on OK. Or the save, I should say. And as you can see here, now this continuous integration build is right here. And for example, I can actually queue this new build definition if I want to, or edit it and all those types of things. So what I want to do now is I'm actually going to go to the source code, and I'll go to the view, for example, and I'll go home to index.cshtml. And you can see here, for example, I have another one. So this is a different project than what I had in the cloud already. So I can just click on this and say, hi, JR, just for the heck of it. I'll click on Save. And if I go to Team Explorer, for example, you can see if I go to Pending Changes, I'll check in those changes. It's checking it in. There you go. No files checked into conflicting changes. So I'm going to basically just take the keep the local version. And it's basically doing that. Okay, check it in, click on yes, change set is already in. Now if I go to my build, you can see, for example, I actually got these two that are actually building at the same time. So it's not just a single one, I can actually do something. And if I take a look at this, it's actually doing the process right now. It's been queued in this case. For whatever reason, they queued 4 days ago. I don't know why it says that, because...
Because you were practicing for today's episode, of course.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But anyways, for whatever reason, it's in there. And then once this build is finished, then you can actually see that it's actually going. So you can see that it's actually queuing this. It's actually going forward. Let's see where this one's at, because maybe this is going. Yeah, so this is actually in the process, and it's building right now. So you can see, for example, that, you know, you can get a clear look at exactly what's going on within... within your builds as well as part of this continuous integration process with Visual Studio Online, that is. Now, the last thing I want to show you before we finish off for today is I'm going to talk to you about load testing, right? Because this is one of the other areas or workloads within Visual Studio that actually makes sense.
Visual Studio Online.
Online, I should say, right? Yeah. So the one thing I'm going to say as a caveat is that Visual Studio Ultimate is the tool that you need to create your load test. So if you don't have Visual Studio Ultimate, you can't build a load test and then run it in the cloud anyways.
So quasi builds my point, or breaks my point from before, where I was saying, hey, you can do all this stuff. That's why I was saying there's most of the stuff that you can do.
Yep.
Granted, you have to start. You still need Visual Studio Ultimate for some of these things. And as you'll see, Paul's creating a project to do that, right? But once it's created, or really, you're creating it, but really it's just defining what the load test actually is.
Yep.
From that point forward, you can kick it off right from Visual Studio Online.
Exactly. Now, you know, we can create this, but I'm going to see if I actually have one already created, just for the sake of keeping this. Yeah, so I got one already created, and we'll just... The reason why I want to do this is just for the sake of time. So if you take a look, there's a few things that happen here. So I'm just basically going to that PJL ALM Days website that I had before. So basically, I've set this up already. So basically, there's two steps to creating a load test. The first thing is you have to tell Visual Studio what the load test is going to run, right? So you create what's called a web test, or a set of web tests if you want. So in this case, I've already recorded this, and it's just going to go to this PJL ALM Days 2.AzureWebsites.net. Website, which is just an MVC website that I created. Then the second part is basically you have to right click on the project itself, which I'll show you here. And I already have a load test here, but if I right click on the project that I created and add load test, it'll create a new load test. And at that point, you basically say, okay, what is the load that you want to put on? So in this case, I've put on a load of, I think, of 500 virtual users that are just going to run on this machine. And at that point, you double click on the local.test settings area, and you can see here, run test using Visual Studio Online. So what this means is that instead of actually using a typical load test rig, which you typically have to create yourself on premises, which does take a lot of effort and maintenance effort as well for your load test rigs, Instead, you can actually just run this in Visual Studio Online, and it'll actually create the test rig for you automatically in the cloud. So we'll just actually click on close on this, and I'm going to run the load test. And that's fine. Oh, okay, for whatever reason. Oh, I see. For whatever reason here. Click on next. Click on close. Maybe I do need to actually recreate this. Okay. So for some reason I'm not... here, hold on a second. Connect to... Well, anyways, you could basically run this and we could go forward. But we're running out of time, so I do want to exit this, and we'll let this go for now. I've shown this in other episodes as well, so we'll let this be. So the last thing I want to do is actually go back to the slides. And I'm going to go very, very quickly into the various different sort of things that you get within Visual Studio Online. So when you actually create a new account within Visual Studio, basically you can get, there's three different sort of options. There's basic, advanced, and exclusive. So you can see here that there's sort of access level by MSDN version as well. So you have the ability to take a look at all these different things. So like if you're in a basic account, which is typically what you get if you're actually just creating your own project without MSDN as well, you get unlimited number of projects, agile planning, work item tracking, code discussions, and all that kind of stuff. So the typical things that you would have, if you don't have an MSDN subscription, basically you have five basic users that you can actually add to your project. Although you can add as many unlimited MSDN subscribers as you want. If you want more users that are non-MSDN subscribers, then you have to pay per user per month for that. And as you can see here, for advanced capabilities, there's portfolio management, team rooms, and all those types of things. And then exclusive capabilities include things such as web test case management. So there's lots of different sort of options for you, and you can choose exactly what's most important for you for your Visual Studio Online capabilities. So with that, we are a little bit short on time, so I will exit here, and we'll let it go for now.
Are you exiting PowerPoint? Are you exiting the show? Are you exiting the studio? What?
given the fact that the demos were giving me a bit of an issue today, maybe I'm just going to exit underneath this desk. But besides that, that's basically what we have for today. But we'll definitely be around to answer questions after the show as well.
Yeah, so I think what's important to walk away with from all this stuff is that there's, as you can see, actually, can we get, let's get Paul's visual back on there. Where are you going?
Oh.
Don't exit. Okay. I know you said exit, but I wanted to show everybody that one again. If you look at all the different capabilities of what you see on there, there's a ton of different things that you can do.
Yep.
What I find a lot of people get themselves into a little bit of a kerfuffle with is that they try and say, okay, well, here's my account, I got it in.
Yep.
First of all, it's not a trial, so don't worry about having to figure all this stuff out in 30 days, right? Remember all those free resources that Paul was showing you? So
yep.
You get all that stuff. Point being is that there's different areas of Visual Studio Online to explore. So
Exactly. You
get in there, you start exploring with one, play around with it, see how it integrates back into your world, move on to the next one. It always worries me when someone goes in there and they're like, there's so much to do, I have to use it all. But
yeah.
You don't, right? You mix and match, first of all, with what works for you with Visual Studio Online, what works with you offline or on premises, whatever. So that's number one. And then as you move things over, you can do them on a project by project basis. You can do them on a, you know, on a cycle, let's say a migration cycle from what you're currently doing to the way that Visual Studio Online does it. Point being is that make it work for you. The functionality is there. That's actually one of the reasons why it's not a timed thing.
Yeah.
So that you can actually make whatever natural migration it is for you and your particular company or your particular organization, better yet, your particular project, right? Forget organization. And then just slowly make your way into it, right? And then, especially if you're working with a team of developers, as you're going in and implementing new features, make sure to ask for feedback.
Yes.
Right? Because that's one of those things where, yes, the tool is designed in the way that, research has shown the product groups works best. But that doesn't necessarily mean it works best for you. So there's ton of different things that you can configure. There's a ton of different things that you can make work for how you need it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working with other people, ask for their feedback, see what works, see what doesn't, and tweak from there.
Absolutely.
I think is the best the best way to look about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I mean, the cloud gives you choice, right? So you can choose to do things on premises, or you can choose to do things in the cloud, or a bit of both. And if you choose to do things in the cloud, you get lots of different options that allow you to tailor the experience to what's appropriate for you and your team. Yep.
So basically what I just said.
Yeah.
I had to do that.
That's anyway, okay. It's okay.
Now, here's the other kicker too, right? So we have Paul and his team, right? We got a whole slew of people that can actually help make this possible, right? So there are certain ways to get in touch with us so that we can get in touch with you and continue the conversation. So if that's of interest, let us know so that we can actually make things like that happen or redirect you to people who can. And get the stuff making sense to you, right? There's a lot of preconceived notions of what Visual Studio is or what Visual Studio Online is and what it isn't. So hopefully Paul's busted some of those for you in a good way. But if there's questions, let us know. Speaking of topics that make people's brain go crazy.
Yes.
Next month's topic.
Is a little bit off the beaten path, yes.
Yet so important.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest with you. The reason why we
you may want to tell them what we're going to be talking about first.
Well, I'm prefacing it just because yes,
it's one of those things. It's one of those topics that needs a preface.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because I go to customers, and they get the technology, right? They say, okay, I get the technology. It makes sense. I want to use it, but how can I make sure that I'm ready for it and am I licensed for it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we're gonna go a little bit non-technical next month, and we're gonna talk about MSDN benefits. So a little bit about, you know, what you get if you're licensed for MSDN and the different versions of MSDN, but also what are the benefits that you get as part of MSDN as well. This is a pretty typical conversation we have with our customers, and we figure that there's a lot of interest in at least knowing what you get if you purchase MSDN subscriptions, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to bring in one of my colleagues who's going to go through the ins and outs of it, and because he's a licensing specialist, but he'll also provide some context around some of the benefits that you get out of it. So if you have any questions around that, definitely feel free. JR and I will be here as well, obviously, if there's more technical questions saying, hey, okay, I get that I can use MSDN Ultimate and all that kind of stuff, or Visual Studio Ultimate with MSDN, but what about this load test capability? Right. That's where, you know, we can sort of help out with our colleague who I believe will be Marco DiVirgilio.
So. Now, while all of that sounds like it'd be like, okay, we can read all this stuff and whatever, what I found, especially having been on the opposite side of that conversation, is that, first of all, there's a ton of stuff out there that's kind of like, I'm like, whoa, that's way too many words.
Yep.
So when someone explains it to me, perfect. But also there's a lot of stuff that people just don't realize comes with MSDN.
Yeah.
Right? Which boggles my mind because it's one of the most, at least for me, when I was developing apps and services, that was one of the key things that was like, it's a bright part of my day. Okay, I realize I'm geeking out or, you know, but like MSDN was a fundamental part of my day.
Yes.
And what boggles my mind is that most, I don't want to say most, a good chunk of people don't actually realize how much they get from
It's a
their
huge
MSDN.
Benefit. It's a huge benefit, yeah, for sure.
So, point is, tune in, and we'll go through that. And again, bring your questions and whatever. And for those of you that are watching this live, you'll get the link for next month's episode in your follow-up email. So you'll have that, and hopefully we'll see you there. As always, we will stay online if there are questions, or if you're watching this on demand afterwards, post them in the comments. It may take a day or two, but Paul and I for sure will get back to you, and hopefully we'll see you next month. If you are watching this live or you want to know when the on-demand recording comes up, make sure that you're following CDN Devs on Twitter, or if you're the Facebook type, then make sure you're following Microsoft Developer on Facebook, and then as soon as we post the on-demand version of this, then you will have it there, and you will know that it's there, and you can watch it as many times as you would like to invite Paul and I onto your screen.
Yeah.
We don't show you the bloopers, but there's some hilarious things.
Well, there were some today.
Yeah. One day, we may get permission to release those, but hey, what happens in the studio stays in the studio, so... I'm just going to stop right there. Anyways, we will see you next month.
Thanks, guys and girls.